Welcome to Career Tools. Industry relationships. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How can I have a network with people outside my company? What can I tell people who I'm networking with about my company? How do I keep company information confidential while networking? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
Wendy, when people talk to us about developing relationships within their industry from, you know, from the perspective of building their network, they get concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Appears to a lot of people to be kind of tricky, right? You know, exactly how much can you say? When can you say it? You know, how do you develop a relationship with someone who, for example, works with or for a competitor? And you'd agree that those relationships are worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's the key to keeping ourselves out of trouble when we have relationships with those folks?
Okay, well, we've got a long outline, but each one is short. So we've got six things. Do build your network in your industry. Discuss the industry in general. Talk about your profession, be open about the past, be less open about the future, and keep confidential that which should be confidential.
That's a long list, so let's get right to it. And I kind of alluded to this in the introduction. We recommend that you do build your network in your industry, with competitors or otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want a job in a different company in the same industry, that's probably going to be one of your competitors if you want to go there later. If you want to keep up with what's going on in your industry, you have to have friends in companies which are in your industry who might be competitors. And if you want the kind of reputation amongst your peers, amongst people in your industry that do the same job as you, then you've got to go out to those people. You've got to reach those people with whatever it is that you do so that you gain the kind of reputation that you want. And if you want to be first to hear news, then you've got to be connected. And of course, there's people instantly then worry about, well, what would I, you know, their competitor, my boss might think I'm leaving, or my boss might think I'm job hunting, or I can't tell a competitor anything. Like, what will we be able to talk about? Because, you know, I wouldn't want to tell a competitor anything, which is kind of, there are things you can discuss. So you can keep away from that. And every relationship that we have in our life is different. We have different relationships with our boss, with our peers, with our friends, with the blokes we play soccer with the mums from school, with our parents. You know, we are, as human beings, able to negotiate different types of relationships.
I think that's where the term TMI comes from, right?
Which yeah, exactly. Is
you're too much information. Folks who don't have never heard it before, but right, it pretty much means that, hey, you're sharing something with me that is not appropriate given our relationship. You might share it with your spouse, you might share it with your psychiatrist, but TMI.
Exactly. And everybody has a different TMI level. And so we recommend that you build your network indiscriminately. That is without consideration for people's roles or where they work or what they might do or how you might think they might be helpful to you or you can be helpful to them. And so people in your industry are in that kind of broad brush of build your network with whoever you can meet. And the bigger your network, the better it is, the more it works for you. And so just because there's this consideration for competitive information and security and all those kind of things doesn't mean that you can't go out and meet people in your industry.
Right. It's a consideration. It's not a something that would suggest you should not have the relationship. So The rest of the topics are kind of outgrowths of this one, which is like, what can we not talk about? So certainly talking with people in your industry, whether a competitor or not, is fair game, right? There's no competitive advantage to that.
Exactly. Talking about legislation that might be coming in that's going to affect the whole industry. If you're not talking about how your company is going to respond, which may be competitive information, then it's still okay to have a conversation generally. And usually legislation affects similar companies in the same industry the same way. So you'll all either be glad or you'll all either be mad. So you'll have something in common there. But that conversation in general is fine when one company is buying another. But as long as you're not in one of those companies, then a general conversation about, oh, that's interesting, I see those two companies emerging, that seems to signal that there's a consolidation in this industry. That's a conversation you can have without giving away any secrets. You know, it's kind of general knowledge amongst the people who are in that industry. And most people can work out that two or three companies merging with each other means consolidation.
Yeah. And if Alaska Air and, say, agreed to buy Virgin America, right? If you were at an airline industry conference and that had just been announced the day prior and you refuse to discuss it, that's kind of...
That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
It'd be kind of weird. I think everybody, you know, probably at the conference, that's what everybody's talking about. And frankly, if you go to a conference and that occurred and you're talking to other people in this industry and you don't have an opinion or you can't describe how that might impact the industry as a whole, or if you are an accountant in, let's say, the airline industry, what it means from an accounting perspective, I think you lost an opportunity to impress somebody who might benefit you or her.
Yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right. Professionals have opinions.
Right. And you're constantly judged about those opinions. And not having an opinion is not an option, frankly.
Yeah, that's true. If you worked for Virgin and Alaska and or Alaska when on the day that was announced and you felt like it was a sensitive topic or it might be construed that you might have real information about that, then you might not want to talk about it. You know, if somebody said, hey, don't you work for Alaska? Haven't you just bought Virgin? What's all that about? You know, you might want to say, I don't know, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, and just kind of brush it off. And there's the risk of saying something you shouldn't, but there's also the risk of you saying something being interpreted as some kind of official comment or some kind of rumor starter, and you don't want that either. So if you do work for them, you know, you probably just want to avoid the question. If you're a flight attendant and, you know, it's going to affect you, but you weren't privy to all of those discussions on the day it's announced, you probably don't even know how it's going to affect you. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be changes, but I don't know what they are.
Right. In that case, you may not want to say something like, if you knew this to be true, you wouldn't want to say, well, yeah, you're all getting it wrong. We bought Virgin America because they have this new battery technology that suggests in the next 7 years that all efficient aircraft will be running on batteries, and we've got that figured out. Like, you may not want to say something like that. And if it's true, if anybody knows of that kind of technology, let me know. I'll invest. Okay. Now, you're talking about like the airline industry, right? But there, within an industry, you have professions. So, for example, I'm in the airline industry, but I'm an accountant, right? And then when you start getting into talking about professions, it becomes, you know, there might be some very unique professions, engineering, et cetera, that might have topics that are really might want to stay away from. But from an accounting perspective, it's unlikely that probably Virgin and United Airlines, there's some nifty accounting differences between the two that provide huge competitive advantages. Isn't that correct?
Especially as they're listed and have to publish their results so everybody knows how they count. That's right. So if you want to stay away from the industry stuff, talking about your profession is usually a safe bet. So even two engineers from Virgin Alaska, if they were in the same room the day after the announcement, they might have a different conversation that's like, hey, have you seen that like weird thing on 737s when they've been flying for 50,000 miles, they get a crack in that strange place? That's not competitive information. That's talking about another company's products and a kind of engineering conundrum. And so that's perfectly safe.
Probably, you know, another example would be industry regulations.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. If you're in, it's like safety regulations, right? There's probably not a competitive advantage in terms of talking about the impact of safety regulations on your particular machining shop, for example.
Exactly. And if you're a manager, you can always talk about management problems or management similarities. I guess managing people is universal. It has universally the same problems, as we can tell from all of the conferences that everybody does. Like nearly, I was talking to Kate the other day and she said, you know, everybody starts their question with, I'm in a unique situation. And she's like, yeah, I got that question last week. Because actually, yeah, exactly. Actually, most people's jobs who are managing people, and every other job seems to be an IT project manager right now, those are all similar in the variables that you're having to deal with, even if the project isn't the same. And so that's another conversation that you can have. You know, things like the software you're using to manage your project, unless it's bespoke and, you know, it has some amazing competitive advantage. If you've just bought something off the shelf and adapted it, it's probably a safe conversation to have as well. So there's plenty you can talk about.
That's right. I think talking about history is also one of those areas you talked about. Be open about the past, right? When you're talking about history, you know, particularly that's fairly old, 5 years ago or so. I mean, it's already happened. It's whatever is going to be known about it is probably in the public knowledge. That's fair to talk about.
That's right. It's probably already a case study at Harvard, right? If you have been working on the changes to a frequent flyer program, for example, before that is released, it's competitive information, right? Because customers sometimes choose which airline to fly on based on what they can get in terms of frequent flyer rewards. And since nearly every airline has one, and so if you were working on it, you'd be changing it, some people win and some people lose. And it's usually the customers that lose and the company that wins, because it's their program, so they can do whatever they want with it. And so you probably don't want to discuss that, if you know that information, while it's happening. But once it's been released, once the whole world knows about how this program is changing, and you know, it's been in the industry news and it's been on websites, and people have said, well, if you're, you know, married father of two from Ohio, this is how it's going to affect you, and this is how it's going to affect you if you're a single person in San Francisco, and it's all been hashed over, then you can talk about it. And again, you just probably don't want to talk about the math or the detail that you went into and what you balanced in terms of adopting this program. But in general, you know, all the stuff that other people are talking about, you can talk about. If something has happened and it's been out and people have been talking about it, then there's no reason not to talk about it.
It's fairly safe. Now, that's it. Stuff that is going to happen in the future. For example, I think it was American Airlines. I could be wrong, at least domestic US. I think they're the first ones that had a frequent flyer program. So let's say you're an American Airlines and you're going to implement this new thing called frequent flyer points. That would be one of those things you probably don't want to talk about, right? So future plans in general, if you're talking about the future plans of your company versus past history, that's a warning. You're probably getting into dangerous territory.
That's right. Like new products, a sales campaign, or an increase in prices. You know, all the stuff that Apple tries to keep from the market, Apple are brilliant at being secretive, and they're always secretive about their new stuff until they want everybody to know about it, and then they kind of accidentally leak it. That's my opinion. And so if you want a model, there's one to follow. Until something's been announced, you probably don't want to talk about it.
I just caution folks, especially if you're fairly new to the industry, if there are many companies where if a new project comes up or there's some significant initiative happening, most people will be asked to sign an NDA, even internally. And even if you haven't been asked to, and you know that there are NDAs out there that people are signing, it's very tough to keep secrets, folks. I mean, That's why most conspiracy theories just don't pass muster, because the idea that 1,000 people know about something and somehow they've managed to keep it to those 1,000 people, it's impossible. So you may know things that you probably should have signed an NDA. The fact that you didn't sign an NDA doesn't give you license to go talk about it. It's still verboten. You can't do that.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy, especially as you'll probably be that guy without a job after you've given away all the company secrets.
Right. And that said, though, we've already discussed plenty here, there are plenty of topics that you can connect with people over. There's useful information you can share without getting into current and future activities that may be a little bit more sensitive.
Exactly. And the last one is keep confidential that which should be confidential. So if you are privy to information that's confidential, whether or not you've signed an NDA, if it's confidential, then it's confidential to everybody. Like, the wall is just you should know. And it doesn't matter. And you certainly don't want to tell it to your industry contacts. So things like layoffs are often confidential.
Well, that's a great example, right? I think a lot of people would, if it's like a technological secret, or, what chip we're going to put in our next phone, or we're going to use new material for the screen, for example, some new type of Gorilla Glass or something completely different. People say, oh, okay, yeah, that's confidential information. And then they think that, for example, that, hey, we're going to do a pretty big layoff later on, that all of a sudden that's different, right? It's not technology, that's different. And that's not true. It is confidential.
I think that's way worse. I would be less forgiving of someone saying something about layoffs, which affect individual people in a very personal way, than technology.
That's right.
A technology secret. I would. They're both bad, but talking about layoffs is worse.
So you're much more a people person than I am, because I was thinking about the impact of the company. But you're right. The executives want to be able to message it appropriately. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Right, that there are obviously people impacted, and the company may not have figured out how they're going to take care of those people, or how they're going to do it, or how they're going to announce it in a way that is respectful to people and help soften the blow of perhaps losing their job. So yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're not laying off, and like the whole industry has, maybe 75% of the companies in the industry have had to lay people off because there's some kind of change that means that the industry is no longer as useful as it used to be, or no longer needed. Even if your company hasn't made layoffs, you probably don't want to be drawn into that conversation. Because again, there can be something drawn from your reaction, whether it's positive or negative. So you'd say something like, it's not something that I deal with, or it's not something that I have any information about. I just do my job over here and other people think about those things.
Yeah, I guess if you somehow suggested that there was going to be a layoff and you just happened to, out of pure luck, nothing else, out of pure luck be right, then maybe there's some implications later on. For example, the person you told could then assume later on that you're not reliable when it comes to protecting industry secrets. And it would be completely a wrong conclusion, but you can see where they get there. And that's not useful if you're interested in developing relationships and building a reputation out in the industry. And again, there's lots of things you can talk about without getting into that stuff.
The worst thing, in my opinion, about confidential information is if somebody finds out news from someone else. So Jane is working at a company. She's going to be laid off. She doesn't know it. But her boss, Bob, goes to the pub with John, and he says, John, yeah, I'm having to lay off my whole team. And John knows someone who knows Jane. And so Jane hears it from this outside source instead of her boss.
Oh,
and maybe
awful.
Weeks in advance. That would be terrible. So you definitely don't want to be that person. Just keep quiet. Like we've said, there's so many other things to talk about. You don't need to be talking about them.
Exactly.
And that was it. I told you it was short.
Excellent. These are all really good points, Wendy. I think sometimes we think of relationships with people and firms that compete with ours as dangerous. And it's not. I mean, there's some concern. There's some things you need to think about, but it's not, on its face, dangerous. There's a lot of useful dialogue you can have without straying into danger zones. And I'd encourage folks, don't go the other way, right? Don't miss out on talking to these folks, developing part of your network for the fear of giving away secrets. Have the relationship, build your network, just don't give away secrets.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
All right, everyone, that's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.